Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. Now here's not a good quote for the day after Christmas. You are what you eat. Don't throw anything at me. That's not a good quote for the day after Christmas. But the scripture says, you are what you think. Psalm 23 verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, say it with me, so is he. What you think, what you meditate upon, what you choose to think upon and dwell on, what you believe, determines how you will live. What you choose is what you will become. That which you give yourself to defines you. You know, they say it about people. He or she was a boater. Or they loved their yacht. They were a boater all their life. Or a golfer. How many golfers in the room? How many would call themselves a golfer? Those hands went down. Okay. One. Yeah, two. Yeah. All right. How many would like to be known as a man or a woman of God? Yeah. That which you give yourself to defines you. By what phrase can your life be summed up this morning? As we stand on the verge of a new year, we face our realities. What we choose springs from what we believe. It all adds up to what we become, and that's why we stay in the Word of God. Would you hold up your Bibles, please? That's why we stay in the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there are Bibles in the back. Big print editions in the back. There are Bibles. Each year, we choose to stay in and read through the Bible in a year. And again, some of us read through the Message last year. And you don't set your doctrine by those kinds of versions, but it inspires a love for the Word of God. In Bible translation, let me just take an aside. In Bible translation, there are different fashions of the foundation for the translation. There's a thought-for-thought paraphrase. There's a word-for-word translation. When you come to the New Living or the Living Bible or the Good News Bible or some of the today's English versions and even the Message, it's a thought-for-thought version. When you come to the King James, New American Standard, even the New King James, yes, there may be some mistakes along the way by copiers, but it's a word-for-word translation. When you build doctrine according to the Bible, you build doctrine, a theological term, on the preponderance of Scripture, which means you build it and the overwhelming, you don't build doctrine on one verse, but you put them all together and you see what the heart of God is. You build your doctrine from the word-for-word translation. But the thought-by-thoughts give you inspiration, blessing, a fresh perspective. That's why we did the Message. Oh, wow, I see that in a fresh way. How many saw something fresh from the Word of God? All right, so I invite you, join us as we read through the Bible this year. We're going to be doing the King James. We already said that. All right, I got a car new to me. A few weeks back, I got a car that was new to me. On the way home from Eastern Washington, that car stalled. Though it was new to me, it was an old staller. And it took me a half hour to start the thing. And I thought, well, clearly I've done it wrong. It's fuel injected and I must have stomped on the gas. And so I did something. I know I've been driving for a long time, but I pulled out this little book in the glove compartment. How many know what the book is called? The Owner's Manual. I thought, somebody smarter than me built this. So let's see. You know, I've been driving for how long now? A long time. What to do when you flood your car? Okay. And there was a special technique for this car. And it got started again after I waited long enough. Then, a couple weeks later, really an important event was happening to which I was very late because it stalled again. It took a half hour. Every now and then, this car just gets tired and says, just get off my case. Just back off the pedal. I'm taking a break. Did it another time. David and I. Hi, David. My son's with me. Praise God. Welcome, David. Good to see you. Anyway, we go up to QFC. It's late at night. We park out of the most extreme part of this thing. And then We park. Now, let's see. Some of the people who live in those houses have cars. And there was one right next to it. And the guy who was there, we walk up out of getting out of the store, and he yells, he's yelling something about, "Oh, a bunch of fat cats in this car, huh?" And I'm sitting there going, just get me out of here. Just let's go. And the car wouldn't start. He's standing outside my window. "Oh, what's the problem?" David's wearing his security guard uniform. "What are you? You're going to arrest him?" He says, "No, I'm a private security guard." "Oh, a private security guard for the fat cat, huh?" You know, so I'm sitting there going, just get me out of here. Half hour. You know, and it's never quick when you need it to be quick, right? Finally, the guy left, and David was laughing his head off at Dad, actually. But I thought, okay, isn't that how it goes in life sometimes? Sometimes in our lives, things don't start the way they should. Life doesn't happen the way it should. And the best thing you can do at that point is pull out the Bible, the owner's manual. How did he intend this to work? What did he intend to happen? I call myself a believer, which means then I believe him. And this is the way I find out what to believe. This is how I know what he wants from me. If I can't just drive down the street by my own car. I got to go according to the owner's manual. It turned out that car might need fixing. Bless God, praise God, now it doesn't stall anymore. So if they're yelling at me about being a fat cat, I don't hear it. I don't have to hear it anymore. Anyway, we stand on the verge of a new year. And I think it's really important and imperative for us to be in the owner's manual. I will guarantee you, I don't make many guarantees, nobody really can, but I'll guarantee you this. If you will give yourself to reading the Bible every single day, it will change your life. Your life will change because you'll be washed by the water of the Word, and this noggin will be working right when we put the Word in. If all you put in is TV, the movies, and TV guide, it ain't going to work very well, right? Your car's probably going to stall out, right?
That's right?
The car of your life probably will stall out. But if you'll make this your book, if you'll make the Bible your book, and choose the Word of God, it'll change your life. Let's go to Psalm 1, a psalm for living. Psalm 1, a psalm for living. Now, I know you have it in front of you, but I'm going to ask you to stand with me one more time, and we're going to read this psalm from the overhead. Then you can refer to it as it's in front of you when we preach. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6, and I would like for you to read this out loud with me, out of the New King James Version. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." For the Wake him up, Paula. Wake him up. "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Lord, we pray you will write your word on our hearts and on our minds. And all the people said,
amen.
Please be seated. What I want you to notice is the patterns of this simple, short, little psalm. It's life-changing. There are patterns in this psalm. And this psalm deals with how you walk, how you stand, and where you sit. Verse 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not..." You can just go back to it if you would, Dean. That'd be great. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The word blessed is the Hebrew word ashar. Can you say it with me? Ashar. And that literally means how happy that person is. You were created in the image of God to carry His blessing. Say it with me. I am made to be blessed. And to bless. You were created in His image. You were created with the stamp of God on your life to be blessed and to find your fulfillment in Him and your destiny in Him. He's got a plan and purpose for your life. And we bear His image. We bear the stamp of the Lord in our lives. And our lives are to be full of blessedness. That's what the Scripture says. Now, as we go into this psalm, we are contemplating here the man and the woman who has chosen God as their life source, as their portion in life. Let me ask you a direct question. Have you chosen God as your source of life?
Amen.
Come on, let's see your hands.
Yes.
Is that you? That describe you? All right, then this psalm tells us how we should be. The Bible says you have made that choice, therefore you should be blessed through and through. Well, now wait a minute, Pastor Kev. My circumstances aren't always so hot. Well, I didn't say your circumstances would always be hot, but I said you'd be blessed, because even in the midst of lousy circumstances, you can still rejoice and be blessed in God, can't you? You can still be a blesser of other people, even in the midst of lousy circumstances. It's not always a financial blessing. It's not always being blessed to do what we want to do. But it's being blessed by His presence. It's your state of being. It's knowing the joy in the Lord maketh one rich. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich, and He adds no sorrow to it, the Bible says.
Amen.
You've got riches that aren't necessarily financial. Join me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, please bless me and make me a blessing.
Oh
God, grant me favor
before you.
Now there are two words as you were growing up that you learned that were vital. Undoubtedly kept you alive, and you're here today because of them. Every parent in the room, every grandparent in the room has these two words that you train your children in. How many know what those words are?
No.
And yes. Please and thank you are good words. Those are good words. But the answer, no and yes. Yes, you can do. No, you can't do. Isn't that what kept you alive?
Yes.
Rest of you don't know why you're alive. Sometimes it's the no in life that has kept you living.
Amen. That's right.
Come on, be honest with me. There are things I could have chosen to do that would have destroyed my life.
That's right.
So sometimes I had to say no. Sometimes it looks good. Come on, you really be honest with me. Sometimes temptation looks good, or it wouldn't be tempting.
Right.
Duh. But sometimes it looks good. But saying no can keep you alive. Sometimes, all the time, saying yes to what God wants you to do keeps you alive and blessed. Folks, the problem comes when we say yes to the wrong thing and no to the right thing. So we got to get those working right. A psalm for living. We're going to start by taking a look at what God says no to. What does God prohibit? Because we'll then find out what God says yes to. But this psalm tells us a pattern of what God prohibits. Blessed is the man, verse 1, who walks, there's a little word in there called no, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And there is a progression right there. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the path of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful. It is a literal progression in the Hebrew. The ungodly. What's the ungodly? The ungodly, that Hebrew word is rasha, and it literally means the ungodly is unjust. Somebody who doesn't give what is due to those to whom it's due. Withholds his or her life from God, from society, from other people, withholding what belongs to someone else. The ungodly has not a relationship with God and is without God. The ungodly man or woman is not one influenced by God. The ungodly has a counsel in life. And the Bible says, don't walk in that counsel. The ungodly man isn't concerned about the Lord. The ungodly man doesn't care about your salvation or his or her own salvation. He counsels others to live like he or she lives. Don't sweat that stuff. What are you going to church for? What's this business about God? I'm going to take my chances. That's all well and good till you're on your deathbed and all of a sudden that doesn't look so hot. Well, you don't go to church, do you? Churches are not perfect. Churches hurt people, and churches, well, they just, all they want to do is take up offerings. How many offerings do you hear us take up in this church? I'm sorry? How many? Okay. That's right. But it doesn't mean we can't. But if we choose to handle it as an act of worship, the box and the receptacles are over there. And now, ushers, will you please come? Now, you don't go to church. You don't go to church. It's not perfect. After all, pastors are sinners. Well, yeah. I'm sorry. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of you need Jesus just like the pastor in this room? I know. Some of you are looking like, but you need him a lot more than I do. He counsels others. Don't sweat that stuff. Don't go to church. Why waste your time? After all, I find God on the golf course. I find God on my boat. Live an honest life. Don't worry about God or religion. You'll be fine. Blessed are you, man or woman, who doesn't walk in that kind of counsel. Blessed are you when you don't try to match your life up with that kind of man or woman. God is not in the ungodly person's thoughts or plans, and they counsel you to be the same way. Don't walk in their counsel. Don't believe it, because what they believe is a lie. Walk, run the other way. Amen?
Amen.
All right, what about sinners? So don't walk. Don't trot along in that counsel. All right, what about sinners? The word sinner, the Hebrew is shata. Literally means to miss the mark. To pass over prohibited limits. To transgress. How many know you don't go on beyond the sign on the roadway that says, stop, road out ahead? You don't drive your car around there and just take your chances, right? You've all heard of stories of people that drive around the stop sign that comes down on the train tracks. And many of those people are not here anymore. You don't drive around the prohibited path. But these people, the sinners, are the ones who pass the prohibited limits. This man or woman not only doesn't do good, they literally do evil. The first one, the ungodly, was without God. But in the Hebrew tenor of the word, it's not necessarily fully, desperately wicked. The sinner adds outward transgressions to the belief system in their heart. One thing to be ungodly and have counsel, just live and let live, but then this person's gone the other steps to go headlong into sin. The sinner, they put their beliefs to action. Are you with me? You know, not everybody does everything. One man's a drunk. The other one takes drugs. One person has sexual sin. The other person's a thief. And maybe the thief, or maybe the person who covets, doesn't do any of those things, but they're literally given over to the lust of the flesh and the love of the world. What is the person given to? The sinner has his or her way. Don't give yourself to it. Don't choose that way. Therefore, says the prophet, let the wicked forsake his way. Blessed is the man and woman who stands not in that way. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of the sinners. Then thirdly, scornful. It's a progression through this simple little psalm. Third, don't abide with the scornful. Don't sit. walk, stand, sit. Now watch, when Nehemiah has a book, sit, walk, and stand. And there's a similar progression. That's into the righteousness, but this is dealing with don't walk with the unbelievers. Don't, what is it? Y'all with me? Don't believe the unbelief. Don't stand with the sinners and don't sit with the scornful. The Hebrew word here is lutes. And it means the scornful is literally those who mouth at, who scoff. It leads to the word latsa, and it means to mock and to deride. This person not only has no religion, but lives out and out in the open breach of God's law and God's revelation. They don't care about the immortality of their soul, and the existence of an invisible world brings their ridicule. As the sinner exceeds the ungodly, so the scornful exceeds both. The scornful, you probably know scornful people who have mocked every sacred thing. Ever known anybody like that? Sure. The scorner is seated in fellowship with other people given over to the hardness of heart. Don't plant yourself in that assembly. Don't put yourself in an assembly of people given over to a wickedness of life. Now, you guys, lest this all sound just like so much Sunday school exercise, it all depends on what you choose. It starts with a simple belief. I think I am going to just give myself over to the counsel of the ungodly. I don't need church. I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need fellowship. I don't need these things. And then it goes from there, from a belief, into what you do. Because pretty soon, after you give yourself over to that counsel, then you're going to withdraw yourself from fellowship with like-minded believers. And you're not going to make yourself part of their assembly. You don't need them. And so pretty soon, your activities are not going to be godly activities. They will be what? Ungodly activities. You give yourself over to that long enough, and pretty soon, you're headlong into the fellowship of people who are scornful and mock and put down the things of the Spirit of God. Wow. Pretty important not to do what God says not to do. Amen? The manual is saying, if you want your engine and your heart and life to work right, if you want the pistons to fire, if you want the brain to work and the life to work, don't give yourself over to those things. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. You give yourself over to their thinking, to their counsel, you do what they're doing, and then what happens? What's that final stage? What's that final stage? The Bible says sin does what between you and God?
Separates.
Sin separates you. When you give yourself over to those thoughts, you end up separating yourself from the presence of God and from God's people. Do you see how it works? Come on, are you all with me?
Yeah.
Sin separates you from God. And when you choose this way, you choose to separate yourself. How many know you're not going to be blessed there? Why go live like hell with all the other people in the world who live like hell when you can come to church and learn how to be a better sinner saved by grace?
Amen.
Did you follow me?
Yeah.
Anybody in this room perfect yet? Anybody in this room a sinner saved by grace?
Yes.
How many want to keep growing in the Lord?
Amen.
That means look on your right hand and left. Look at each other and say, that means I have to put up with you too. All right. What's the antidote to all of this? God says no to those things. So what does God say yes to? Look at verse 2. And we're only through verse 1, verse 2. But His delight. Thanks, Dean. I'm sorry. Thank you if you'll put that back up, but it's in your own Bible too. Verse 2, Psalm 1. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates day and night. I'm not talking about legalistic law binding. I'm talking about that which was the sacred scripture, the Pentateuch, that which is our Bible today. This person says, I'm not going to run in the way of wickedness. I love God and I love His Word. I delight in being in church. Man, oh man, it's Sunday morning. You can't keep me away. That's because you're crazy. I know. Huh? But you know, there's something about being in the house of God. Now, if you've got a miss and you can't be here, okay. But when you can be there, you want to be there. Because the last thing you want is on Monday somebody to call you and say, you missed the revival. We had 50 people healed. There were 200 people in the church. And you want to go, well, the one Sunday I missed. No, we want to pray that God pours out His Spirit and says something that changes our life. And we want to encourage each other. This person's delight is in the Lord. His will, His desire, His affection, every motive of His heart, every moving principle in His soul are on the side of God, the side of God's truth. He wants to please God. This person wants to know Him and wants to know what God's plan is for his or her life. He takes up the Word of God and says, okay, I don't get it all, but I'm going to keep reading. And when I don't get it, I'm going to mark out in the margin, there's more here, and I'll come back to that, or I'm going to ask somebody, and I'm going to keep reading. And I don't get it. You know what? I still don't get things after being saved for however many years. There's things I read every year. I go, huh. Someday I'll understand. I'm going to keep reading. How many understand everything there is to know about the book of Revelation? That's why I preach on it every Sunday. Yeah, we'll know Sunday. I might have some perspectives. I've shared a few of them with you. But hey, if I'm wrong, great. I just want to be where Jesus is. Amen. Get ready, stay ready, and grow. All right, so we stay in the Word of God. And so what does God promise? What does God promise? Blessing comes from what we do and what we avoid. The Word directly says, if you will delight in the Lord and if you will meditate on His Word, you will be blessed. Sometimes we get frustrated. We think, what's it going to take to get the blessing of God in my life? Delight in the Lord, in His Word, and meditate on it. Keep reading. Keep growing. God will speak to your heart, even in the midst of tough times. Blessing comes from what we do and what we avoid. Make Him number one. Make His Word number one in your life. If you don't choose, let me just tell you a fact. If you don't choose the Bible as your main text, guess what? You will choose something. Doesn't matter what book series it is, doesn't matter what it is, where it is, you'll choose something to fill your life with. Make it the Lord. If you really want to bless 2011, make it the Lord. What does God promise? What does He say? Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This person is planted. That's what the Bible says. This person is planted. Not wild, not rolling free like sagebrush, not the attitude that says, I don't belong to any church. I'm just free, free-spirited, free-range. Yeah, and the free-range sometimes get eaten by the free-range animals. Right? It's awfully quiet in here. So you get planted, you get identified, you get into the house of God, and you say, hey, even if it's not perfect, when I get there, they'll be a little worse. And we'll all grow together. And we'll all grow together. And we'll make our commitment to Him and to His people. And it's not a casual thing. They're planted. That's what the Bible says. They are planted. Roots down. Foundations. Able to receive nourishment and life. Planted where? By the river of God. Which means the Spirit of God gets to flow in your life and bring health and life to your tree. And you get to bear precious fruit. And the fruit's not just for you, but the fruit's to give away. And people are going to look at your tree, growing, mature, full of rich, precious fruit. And sometimes somebody's going to say, can I have some of that fruit from your life, please? What makes the difference? Where did you grow such luscious fruit? I just planted myself. And delighted myself in the Lord and in His church. And I just delight in growing in Him. He's numero uno. Amen. Right? Say it with me. He's numero uno. He's number one. Planted. Substance. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says His leaf will not fail, shall not wither and blow away. Not necessarily a perfect man or woman of God yet, but a man or woman given to God who wants to keep growing to be like Jesus. what he or she does, the Bible says, will prosper. The Hebrew literally means, the word prosper literally means this man or woman will continue to push forward. Have you ever had any discouragements in your life? Come on. Ever had any discouragements? Anybody have any discouragements right now? What did you do wrong? No, I'm kidding. No, sometimes it's like that. The Bible says if you'll give yourself to Jesus, if you'll give yourself to His people, if you'll give yourself to His Word, you're going to be enabled by the Holy Spirit to continue to push forward. And sometimes we don't know which way to go in life. We don't know what God's doing, why, or how, or why He allowed this in your life. But we do know that you can put one foot in front of the other and keep pushing forward. When my wife was so ill, and I had people saying things to me, well-meaning, but what are you learning? Like I've told you before, I wanted to hit them. I have no idea what I'm learning. But what I am learning, in one big way, is to just keep pushing forward. And sometimes, that's where life is. There's a lot of hopelessness in this world where people stop pushing forward. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life because you've chosen Him and His Word as number one, the Bible promises you, God promises you, He will anoint you and help you to keep pushing forward. I wish I could tell you there's never any problems in life. I wish I could make that promise. That's not what the Scripture tells us. Live by the river of God. Let the fruit come forth richly from your life. Let the Word of God, as you read it daily, transform your mind and your heart. Listen to what one version says about the ungodly and their conclusion. Listen to this. They shall be like the dust which the wind scatters away from the face of the earth. They shall be like the dust which the wind scatters away from the face of the earth. I don't want to be like that to you. No substance, no blessing. We want to help bring people to Jesus. And in order to do that, we want to stay there ourselves. So as we're here on the verge of a new year, I could give you 15 great points to carry home on a placard, or I could give you one main heart point. Keep Him number one. Let your heart be sold out in a fresh new way. Jesus, be number one in my life more in this new year than I've ever known you before. I'm going to read the Word of God again. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pushing forward because you are the first love of my life. Blessed are those who don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed are those who don't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed are those who don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Blessed are those who delight in the Lord, who meditate in His Word day and night, who say, I don't know what God's doing, but come on, let's keep going, church. Come on, let's see the revival pour in. Come on, it's a new day in God. And oh God, I want to be in what You're doing. I don't know all the answers, but I do know the answer, and His name is Jesus. Come on, church. Let's keep going. Psalm 1 is a psalm for living. Who can say with me what Joshua led the people in chapter 24, verse 15? If you would, and you desire this as the desire of your life, stand with me and let's say it together. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. One more time. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Husbands, men in the room, say it with me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Ladies, say it.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Now turn to each other and say, come on, let's do it together. Father, we thank You that as we stand here on this day, we have the privilege of saying, You are God and we are not. We don't want to choose the wrong stuff. We want to say no to what you want us to say no to. And we say yes to what you want us to say yes to. We love you, Jesus. You know, on behalf of everybody, I can say, we really don't get you sometimes. We really don't get it. But we are so grateful that you've got us. And Lord, as we move in as a congregation into 2011 together, we stand before you as a congregation with this as our heart cry. This is our heart cry, Lord. We want to delight in your word. We choose to. We want to meditate on your scripture. We choose to. And Lord, one more time we say again as a congregation, please see and favor us with your presence. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Musicians, would you come? If you're here today and the Lord has spoken to you something that you know you need to make right with God, we pray that you will do exactly that as we move into a new year together. If you're not saved, surrender your life to Him. If you are saved but you need prayer, we'll be honored to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we'll be honored to pray with you for that as well. Be what you want us to be. So Lord, into your hands we dedicate this year and we dedicate our lives. We will run after you. And I want you to know that you're loved people by God. I love you. And let's just look at each other and say three words. Happy New Year. Delighting in you, meditating in your word, and we thank you for your such great, abundant promises to us. We thank you for your presence, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic day and week in the Lord.